narrows of Charbot Lake. Today, you're just south of Highway 7, but right at the narrows there. And the name for the post office, the name for the lake, and the name for the provincial park that's there, Charbot Lake Provincial Park, Charbot Lake Village, lake itself, Charbot Lake. And Charbot's descendants, you and I were invited to go and be on stage with one of them, Eric Voice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so...
It's been a number of years since that happened.
It has, yeah. But, you know, it's been a number of years since we started.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know how we both feel about it.
We feel fine.
Yeah. We have more fun and we're more prepared and happier on this side of the mic than on a stage, right?
Yeah. So that Wassee River, that's like 4.5 hours away.
Yes.
Or lake, I guess.
Yeah.
Wassee River, I guess.
Wassee, yeah.
Sudbury.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's that high up?
That's what I got.
Oh.
I don't know.
Okay, good.
Seems a ways up there. It's up on the other side of Algonquin Park.
That's perfect. I'd be happy to go there.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So you know.
Okay, yeah. I know I'm going a long way away, but I was just saying about the Charbot Lake, but then just north of Charbot Lake is a place called Mississippi River. And the Mississippi River.
Mississippi River, or?
This is the real Mississippi River, not the one that the...
Mississippi? is that the one that goes down through the states, or no?
No. The one that's up by Charbot Lake. It starts where... Do you know where Bon Echo is at Highway 41?
Kind of.
Yeah. Well, it goes from the river and the lakes up at Bon Echo, and it cuts from there, and it goes directly east. All the water flows east to the Ottawa River. And, you know, I've taken kids canoeing on that river. Quite an opportunity. And one lake, one of them, the lake is called Kashakawagamak. And, you know, so we were talking about the history of that lake. And then when we halfway across the lake, you know, we'd been paddling for about 2.5 hours in the morning. And some of the kids were complaining about the fact that we hadn't stopped to eat lunch. So they call that Kashak a Big Mac attack. but for some funny reason, they remembered that place. But that was neat. And then from the Mississippi flows into other names that some are kept from the Algonquin days, and some are kept from the settler days, and as they went across. You know, Carlton, there's a Carlton place that the Mississippi River flows into.
Mm-hmm.
And Carlton was somebody high up in the British government. Anyway, but I like keeping the other names better. You know, Scugog, for example, Lake Scugog. Scugog is a group of the Mississaugas. And that's, you know, there's Port Perry there on Lake Scugog, and then there are a couple of other little communities just north of that still keep the indigenous names. So, yeah. So how's that? There are a bunch. I just hope people listen and try to find out about these places.
Yeah, I hope so too, Doug. Mm-hmm. So you'll have people that you know that are there when you get there.
Right.
Because you're going to visit every one of these. If you haven't already.
Well, there you go, yeah. There are still places here that, you know, like the Wassee Falls. I've never been there, so. Definitely going to see that one.
4.5 hours.
That's all right.
Yeah,
I can handle
an afternoon trip.
Yeah.
Possibly a day trip, I guess.
Take my canoe?
If you left at...
8 o'clock?
I guess, yeah, you'd be there around 1 o'clock.
Yeah, well, we'd be there to stop for lunch.
Yeah, well, It's a ways to go.
Well, you got the afternoon to relax. And then the sun doesn't set till almost 8 o'clock in August. So, yeah, we can make a trip home.
All right.
I'll tell you about... Oh, you're not coming?
No.
No, I need somebody to start the fire.
I got things to do.
Oh, that's good. All right. So, we got some music. Ace and Avi. Yeah, I think he would be a good person to have right now talking about We Were Here.
So handed. If you've this, then look who has it. Maybe you can understand it. All this ignorance leaves us broken. I could never leave it unspoken. Something in the truth makes you. Something so true but so tragic. It's in the way we're torn. Enter this world we're thrown. It's in this flesh that's born. It's in the way we're born. It's in the way we're born. If you have the chance, would you change it? All these burning bridges. Could you and I be the same thing? And is there room for forgiveness? All this ignorance leaves us broken.
Queen's Parkinson's Kingston is a student-led club dedicated to raising awareness, fundraising, and supporting those affected by Parkinson's disease in both the Queens and Kingston communities. On September 6th, join Queen's Parkinson's Kingston for the 2025 Parkinson Canada Super Walk, taking place at Lake Ontario Park and running from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Learn more by reaching out to QPK at clubs.queensu.ca and following Queen's Parkinson's Kingston at queens4pd.kingston on Instagram.
Can be hard to understand, but this one isn't. Nearly 1 in 4 people can't afford food in Canada. What does food insecurity look like where you live? Look up your address at foodsecuritynow.ca. That's foodsecuritynow.ca. Join Community Food Centers Canada in making a difference today.
Since its inception in 2022, CFRC Power Plays has become the number one destination for all things Queens football.
And that is a touchdown for the Gales!
With over 50 million lifetime views, CFRC Power Plays is the defining voice in Queens football coverage.
Looking for Nico Cuomo! Cuomo, my goodness! Nico Cuomo with a touchdown!
Follow us today on Instagram at CFRC Power Plays, your number one spot for rock solid football action.
Have you ever wondered how to use the word myriad? It's a borrowed word from classical languages, originally meaning a unit of 10,000, as in an army formation of 10,000. It's used often now to denote many things, including an infinite number of things, or simply a great number. The big question arises, should you put an article in it, such as a, as in there is a myriad of stars in the sky, versus there are myriad stars in the sky? And the answer is both are correct. It's simply a matter of stylistic preference. You should, however, be consistent. When you're confused by it, just remember there are maybe not myriad ways to use the word myriad, but there are at least a couple. You've been listening to A Grammarphone with Daniel Wolf on CFRC.
Long ago, back in the days when the animals could talk and the people could understand them, Turtle woke up one morning with a great idea. "Too long," Turtle said. "Too long have human beings hunted the animals. It is time that we, the animals, joined together and made war on human beings and wiped them out." So Turtle got some red paint and painted his cheeks to show that he was serious about taking the path to war. He went down to the river, and he got out his small canoe. He climbed in, and he began to paddle down the river. And as he went, he sang his canoe song. He sang, "Kaiowa jine yo ho hey ho, Kaiowa jine, Kaiowa jine, Kaiowa jine yo hey ho, Kaiowa jine, Kaiowa jine." And as he paddled down the river, there on the bank he saw a big animal. This animal was standing on its hind legs. It waved at Turtle. It growled and said, "Turtle, take me with you. I want to go and make war on the human beings." Well, Turtle looked up. It was Bear, the biggest of all the animals. And Bear's foot was twice as big as Turtle's canoe. So Turtle thought fast. He said, "You are too slow to go to war with me. If I go to strike the enemy, you will fall behind and you would be no good at all. Only the mightiest warriors can go with Turtle when he makes war. You must stay here." And quickly Turtle began to paddle his canoe down the river singing his song. "Kaiowa jine yo ho hey ho, Kaiowa Kaiowajine, Kaiowajine. Again the river made a bend, and there, where the river bent, there was standing another animal. Now this animal was not as big as Bear. He was standing on all four legs. He had a bushy tail, sharp ears that stood up, and long, sharp teeth. It was Wolf. And Wolf growled to Turtle. He said, "Turtle, take me with you. I will go and fight the human beings, and I am a fast runner. I am not slow like Bear." Well, Turtle looked up at Wolf. Wolf's mouth was big enough to eat Turtle with one bite. And Turtle thought fast, and he said, "Ah, you are too fast a runner. If you become afraid, you would run away from the battle, and I could not catch you to make you fight. Only the mightiest warriors can go with Turtle. You must remain here." And quickly Turtle began to paddle his canoe and sing his song. Kaiowajine, yo ho hey ho, Kaiowajine, Kaiowajine. Where the river again made a bend, there stood a third animal. Now this animal was the same size as Turtle. This animal had a beautiful black coat with a lovely white stripe down the back. And Turtle pulled his canoe in close to the edge of the bank. The animal said, "Turtle, take me with you. I will go and fight the human beings." Turtle looked at this strange animal. He said, "Perhaps you can come with me, but only the mightiest warriors can go with Turtle. Do you have any weapons?" And this animal said, "Yes, I have one secret weapon." And Turtle said, "There can be no secrets between two mighty warriors such as you and I. You must show me your secret weapon." And the animal said, "Well, first I must turn around to do so." And he turned around and whoosh, showed Turtle his secret weapon. Ah, that weapon was powerful indeed. It knocked Turtle right out of his canoe. And when he had climbed back into his canoe again, he said to this animal whose name was Skunk, "Your weapon is mighty indeed. You may come with me, but do not use your weapon until we strike the human beings." And now there were two warriors going down the river together singing, "Kaiowajine, yo ho hey ho, Kaiowajine, Kaiowajine." Now where the river again curved, there was the strangest animal of all on the bank. This animal had no arms and no legs. This animal looked like a rope all coiled up. And this animal, as Turtle and Skunk came close, this animal said, "Stop! Take me with you. I want to strike the human beings." It was Rattlesnake. Well, Turtle looked at Rattlesnake and saw he would fit into the canoe, but he said, "We are two mighty warriors. We are going to wipe out all of the human beings, but only a great warrior can come with us. Do you have any weapons?" And Rattlesnake said, "Yes, I have one secret weapon." Turtle shook his head. He said, "Do not show it to me. Just get into the canoe." And so Rattlesnake crawled into the canoe, and now there were three mighty warriors going down the river and singing, "Kaiowajines, yo ho hey ho, Kaiowajines, Kaiowajine." The river began to widen, and where it was its widest, there was a big village of Haudenosaunee people. There in this village there were many lodges, and by the riverbank there were many young men standing there, practicing games of war. Some were shooting bows and arrows. Some were throwing their spears. Some were wrestling with each other. And Turtle, seeing this, stopped his canoe in the middle of the river. The other two warriors waited for the signal to attack. But Turtle said, I can see that if these people see us coming, they will be so frightened, they will run away before we can get out of our canoe and wipe them out. So we must have a surprise attack. And so It was agreed. They took the canoe very, very softly and quietly over to the edge of the bank. They found a little stream that flowed up out of the big river, and they followed that little stream until they came to some bushes. There they hid Turtle's canoe, and they climbed out. And they began to sneak close to the edge of the village. Right there, where there were a few lodges, they made their plans. They would hide themselves all through the night and attack at dawn. Skunk was the first one to find a place to hide. There was a little spring where the women came to dip water for cooking, and Skunk crawled in among the thick bushes and hid by the edge of the spring. Rattlesnake was next. He crawled over by one of the lodges where there were some sticks laid out, and he stretched out straight and looked like a stick. Turtle looked for a place where he could hide. Well, there in front of a lodge were a number of cooking pots turned over and left for the night. Turtle crawled in among the cooking pots, pulled in his head, pulled in his legs and his tail, and he looked like a muddy old cooking pot. And the three great warriors waited for dawn. When the sun rose in the morning, a woman came from her lodge. She went down to the spring to get some water for cooking. And as she bent over to get her water, Skunk leaped out and, ha, fired his secret weapon. But this woman was very tough and brave. Even though she was coughing and choking, she grabbed Skunk by the neck and began to beat him on top of the head with her fist. She hit him so many times that his head was flattened out. To this day, Skunk has a flat head, and when he woke up, he crawled off into the bushes. And from then on, Skunk doesn't like to come out during the daytime. He's afraid he might meet that tough woman again. And now there were only two mighty warriors left, and it was Rattlesnake's turn. Another woman came from her lodge to get some sticks to make her morning fire. But she saw, this woman who had very sharp eyes, that something was strange because one of those sticks was twitching its tail. So she backed off and began to pick up some stones. And when she had enough of them, she began to throw them at Rattlesnake. Her aim was so good she hit him right on the head and flattened his head out. He crawled away, and to this day, Rattlesnake has a flat head. And you know, if a rattlesnake sees you, he won't stretch out like a stick. Instead, he coils up and shakes his tail to say, "I'm not a stick, I'm not a stick, I'm not a stick." And now only one mighty warrior was left, Turtle. Inside another lodge, there was a man who was lazy. This man had slept late, and his wife poked him and said, "You, get up. All the other men in the village are out doing things, and you are still asleep. The least you can do for me is to go out and bring in the cooking pot." So this man, yawning, stretching, blinking his eyes, walked outside and went over to the cooking pots, bent over to pick up the first one he saw, even though it was very old and dirty looking. But it wasn't a cooking pot. It was Turtle. And as soon as the man picked him up, Turtle shot his head out and grabbed the man right by the leg. "Whoa!" shouted the man. "Let go!" But Turtle does not let go until he is ready. "Let go!" the man shouted. But Turtle just bit harder. And the man pulled out a stick and began to hit Turtle on his back many times. So many times that it cracked Turtle's shell, but Turtle did not let go. "Ugh!" said the man. "I am going to drag you over and put you into that big fire there." That frightened Turtle. Turtles do not like fire. So Turtle thought fast, and without opening his mouth, he said through his clenched jaws, "Go ahead, put me in the fire. Fire is my friend. It just makes me stronger." "Whoa," said the man, "I'm not going to put you in the fire, but what can I do to kill you?" "Whoa," said Turtle, "whatever you do, do not put me in the water. I am afraid of the water. Oh, I am so afraid of the water." And the man said, "Aha, I am smarter than you. I will take you down and drown you in the river. No, said Turtle, no. But the man dragged him, kicking and scratching, all the way down to the river. He waded in until Turtle was deep under the surface. And when he was deep enough, Turtle let go and swam away. Now, ever since then, if you walk down by the river, you might see Turtle there, sitting on a log or sitting on a rock. You may notice he still has his cheeks painted red, as if he wants to go to war. But if he sees you, he will leap in the water and swim away underneath its surface as fast as he can to show that Turtle has no desire anymore to make war on men. And another thing that's true, you will no longer see Turtle paddling a canoe. And that is how that story of Turtle's war party goes. Ho! Hey!
Well, we're having a lot of fun here at Aboriginal Voices, and especially with this project that we've been working on. And it's a Change the Bill project that was put together by the Native Women's Association of Canada. And they did this project in 2022, and the whole display and sharing with the world was in January of 2023. So Kristen and I are going to have some fun chatting with you about it. And Kristen, you know, as I look through the project itself, no Indigenous person has ever appeared on a Canadian currency.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted to, the people at the Native Women's Association of Canada wanted to do something special, but they had to find a way to do it, so they needed artwork and stories behind the art, and then it had to be submitted to the where did they send it in to? The Royal Mint.
Right.
Okay, so the whole project got started like that, but I think it's taken on a life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Mint hasn't done anything with it. Well, for the $20 banknote, but they also have taken direct aim at what describes it as, quote, continued underrepresentation and magnification, unquote, of Indigenous populations and the awareness campaign from the bill itself.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have some fun. You and I have been working on this project for a little while, and we're going to share one artist each week,
mm-hmm.
and the woman hero, Indigenous woman hero, that artist selected. Now, mind you, last time we talked, your artist had two submissions,
right.
But that's okay. We can have some fun. Okay, you all set?
All set.
Good. Tell me a little. Who's the artist today?
So the artist we're featuring today is Anna Heffernan. She is from Curve Lake First Nation Turtle Clan. And Anna is a multidisciplinary artist who is known for her acrylic paintings, beadwork, and digital art.
Ah, so the beadwork is going to come out in this, I think. And we'll see. We'll find out more about it, because you've got a whole background here for me. This is great. She's currently living in Ottawa, and she descends from the Mississaugi Anishinaabe, Irish, and French-Canadian ancestry. Yeah, that gives her a lot of history in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing because her work is available for purchase through her small business in Miskwe Design. Miskwe. That's interesting for me to think about this, because it's Miskwaa, Miskwe Design. And I suspect that's from her Anishinaabe background. Not the French and the Irish.
Right.
Miskwe means red in Anishinaabe Mohen. And Anishinaabe Mohen is, in fact, in the Anishinaabe language, or, you know, people who speak Ojibwe, mm-hmm. Algonquin, Odawa, Potawatomi. They're all from the Anishinaabe Mohen. So it's kind of nice. Yeah, it's interesting. There's a word for you that you can share with your learners as you're
right.
going. Yeah. But she says that she chose to incorporate the whole name and all the language in her business. So
okay.
It's Red Design.
Right.
Yeah. We talked about that.
We did.
privately. But then I have a picture for you to look at before we go on. It's her own painting. It's a self-portrait.
Mm-hmm.
But look in the background.
Yeah, she has some design work in the background of it. Some, I guess, patterns and gradients of color,
mm-hmm.
it looks like. And I think that's something that she focuses on, perhaps coming from her digital art. To me, that looks like it would be part of that.
Mm-hmm. And also her the influence from her beadwork, I think. Because some of the beading in that one. Well, you're going to tell me more in a second. Okay. So, you tell me who she picked.
Okay. So, she chose to, let's see, honor Elsie Knott, who is also from Curve Lake First Nations. So, Knott was the first woman to be elected as chief in Canada when she was elected to lead Curve Lake First Nation in 1954. Mm-hmm. So before 1951, when the Indian Act was amended, women were not allowed to vote or run for office in banned elections. Heffernan chose to feature Knott out of respect for her service to the community because she is proud of their community for their early remembrance of women in leadership. She incorporated an eagle in the background to represent the Eagle Clan, which is traditionally a clan of leaders. So it's a bit more a description of why Anna chose Elsie and designed her bill the way that she did.
Mm-hmm. She uses colors different from the that we had last week, right?
Yeah, last week I think the colors blended more and were maybe more it reminded me more of a landscape. Mm-hmm. And this week the colors are very vibrant and very defined. So the background of this bill is a bright yellow, maybe a dandelion yellow, right?
Yellow, blue, and red.
Mm-hmm.
Not amazing. But it doesn't, the one color doesn't jump out at me.
Right. Yeah, they're all quite bright. Even, I think, I don't know if that's a sun in the background. The sun is red against the yellow background. And the eagle's wings are blue, green, and red.
And the eagle is holding something in its beak.
It is. And I was going to ask you what that that represented.
An energy line. Yeah, it's the connection from the eagle to Elsie Knott.
Oh, and is it kind of over her heart or not?
No.
No, too far to the right.
Yeah. No, but it is connection there.
Right.
But the blue symbolizes, I think, wings.
Okay.
And the eagle is spreading wings, whether it's to hold her or just be there to guide her on a good path, being a chief first.
Okay,
know,
right.
You got to deal with everybody in your community.
And I haven't seen a lot of photos of Elsie Knott before, but she seems to be wearing a necklace, and it's probably something that she is known for wearing. It looks like it maybe is representing the fact that she's the chief.
Yeah, I'm not sure. There's something that we're going to have to ask our listeners. Go take a look at this artwork that was put together
by
Anna.
Yeah, and some feathers, too. I think that's been pretty consistent through the art that we've looked at, is having the feathers there. And in this case, the feathers are dangling from the bottom of the necklace.
You know, a lot of people make feathered earrings or feathers that they put on their traditional regalia or even carry in their hand to have a fan.
Right.
So, yeah, this is quite amazing. I like the colors in this because it causes me to look at the whole bill first and then come into some of the parts. And I hadn't noticed the redness of the what you could say is the sun. It's kind of like the sun that we saw in the summer of 2025.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, with all that smoke in the air around us from forest fires.
It tricked me the one night, too. I thought there was a red moon, but then there was no sort of harvest moon scheduled or anything like that. It was just the smoke.
Actually, it made it easier to look at, though. It wasn't so bright. Okay, so this is Anna, and her work is in Ottawa in her design gallery, or is she also at Curve Lake? Because there's Waitung art gallery in Curve Lake? Does it say
anything? That's a good question. But she just says she's currently living in Ottawa, so I think her store is primarily online.
Oh, okay.
But that's something to check out. So you already mentioned that, but MisquaDesigns.com.
Oh.
So that's the store name.com.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be interesting. So if any of our listeners do check it out or talk to her or get involved, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
They could just write to us at email Aboriginal Voices, all lowercase letters, all one word, Aboriginal Voices at CFRC.ca. Great. Now, last thing. You've been looking at all this art. What's the impact been on you as a learner and also as a woman?
Well, I think it's been great. And I love the idea of reimagining the bill because Canada is a country with a rich history. And I think where our bills start, you know, the people on our bills are starting at a certain point in history.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more to us than that. And I feel like this is featuring an Indigenous woman is going back and featuring more of our history. Even if it's someone who's current, it's representing a deeper, older history. And I think the art is so creative. It's so much more appealing than just a photograph on a bill. I just think the artwork is amazing and the colors, and so it's been really fun to be a part of this and share it with other people.
The other thing, as you say that, I'm thinking too about the history behind Elsie Knott being the first female chief,
right,
at Curve Lake, but also I think you said that she was the first female chief in Canada.
Yes.
Well, that's because of the Indian Act. And in 1951, it changed so that women could actually be part of a community in its governance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And also it allowed, because before 1951, Indigenous peoples who were on a reserve, who didn't give up their rights, could not participate off reserve in any of the conversations that were had about the people's rights or people's ability to travel or to go and study at a university. You and I both were able to go to university, and you know, if we were able to make it that far, great. But First Nations people before 1951 could not leave to go to a university unless they had permission from the Indian agent to say they could go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a whole history.
Yeah,
and definitely. That could be another show altogether.
Yeah,
but I'm sure there are people. Mr. Joseph, I forget his first name right now. And he wrote a book called 21 Things You Ought to Know About the Indian Act.
Okay,
and he's from BC, but every one of the items that he had, just a little snippet of what you need to know about the Indian Act.
Right.
That's one of them. That was a big one. And I'm glad that you brought that one today.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. It just shares more about our country. If that was on our bill, you know, think of the conversations that it would start, right?
Yeah. Elsie Knott. Mm-hmm. And what's her last name?
Heffernan.
Heffernan. Anna Heffernan. And so, yeah, this would be great. Thank you.
Right.
Krista, I really appreciate all you're doing for this project.
Oh, thank you for asking me to be a part of it. It's been fun.
Until next time, Ba Ma Pi Minwa Kuamin.
Hi, this is Chelsea.
And this is Yayi, and we are Twin Flames.
You're listening to our new single, Just Like a Ghost.
Me bleed, jump through a photograph, make believe. You said I'm sorry when I needed it most. Show up in my dreams just like a ghost. Cause I loved you more than I ever should. Just watch out searching. dreams turn vivid, new nightmares. All your poison running through my veins. Love is blind and love is pain.
Today is a day to listen. Radio stations all across Canada are elevating the voices of Indigenous people in Canada, like Tanya Talaga, an Ojibwe author and a visionary for Canada's reconciliation journey. Tanya fuses messages of truth, hope, and Indigenous inclusion through her words. In times of grief and mourning, Indigenous peoples turn to stories, culture, and tradition to heal.
Uzu, Anin. Tanya Talaga Nigisnakas, Ka Musko Pimojija Pineshish Nigisnakas. My name is Tanya Talaga in English. My name in Anishinaabewewin is Little Bird with Big Wings, carries a heavy burden. We've been through so much for a long time, but lately it's been very heavy. And so I'm thinking about the Anishinaabe Seven Grandfather Teachings. These teachings are a guide. They are seven truths, and these teachings are handed down by our ancestors. And you know, while there are hundreds and hundreds of different First Nations from coast to coast to coast, many of us share a version of the Seven Grandfather Teachings. The teachings are respect, humility, love, honesty, bravery, wisdom, and truth. Without these teachings, we'd be lost. I wanted to tell you a little bit, too, about the teaching of love. And I can't think of a better person to help me illustrate that teaching other than Elder Sam Achnipenenskum. Now, I'm going to talk to you today not about romantic love, but about a love that comes from a love of community, of caring for one another, a love for our people. And I got to tell you, too, that I often visit Sam when I'm in Thunder Bay. And we'll often go to Tim Hortons. And when you first meet Sam, it feels like you've always known him. He's got an ease about him. He's got a warm, deep voice and a very subtle, wicked sense of humor. Sam is always there at Timmy's. Everyone knows him there. And they also know that if you're down on your luck, if you're in need of food, some coffee, a gentle ear, Sam is there for you. But like many First Nations people, Sam's also had a lot of loss in his life because of racism, because of colonization. His road to love and to peace, it has not been an easy one. I know for a fact that he works on it every single day. And I know his motivation comes from his own source of love, his love for his family and for his people, and trying to make sense of the Anishinaabeg's place in this world. And so when I ask him, why is it important that we live our life listening to these seven teachings? This is what he said. Well, you got to have some kind of guidance. When we were given this life, we were given instructions on how we should live our life, how we should remember our roles and our responsibilities, how we are all tied to nature, and we're all tied to each other. Every person born is part of the continuum of life. Now, I just want you to know that Sam is a survivor of three Indian residential schools. And as you know, 150,000 of our children were taken away from their parents and their homes and their communities and sent to the government-funded, church-run schools. There were more than 140 of these schools across Canada. The goal was assimilation, to turn all First Nation, Métis, Inuit into good Canadian citizens. But we know the truth of what happened in these places. We know they did so much damage, intergenerational trauma, that we continue to live with. Sam was 12 when he went to his first of three schools. You should know that one of the schools he went to was St. Anne's on the James Bay coast. It was a notorious place that had a homemade electric chair used to discipline the students. And he also went to Cecilia Jeffrey, and that's where his cousin, Cheney Wenjack, also was a student. And so when I asked Sam, how do you do it? How did you survive? He told me it's because when he was young, living in the bush with his parents and his family, he learned everything that he needed to know, how to live on the land, how to be in lockstep with the earth and the air and the water and the trees and the animals. He learned his language. He learned his teachings. He had a good foundation. He said to me, that's what kept me whole. And I have to tell you, the teachings that Sam gives, those are the teachings that keep so many of us whole now. And those teachings are a commitment that Sam makes every single day, a commitment to love, a commitment to understand, and a commitment to make Canada a better place for all of our people. And with that, I'm going to say Chi Ming Wich.
Today is a day to listen. To learn more about how you can do something, visit DowneyWenjack.ca.
To you, $16 might be inconsequential. Hardly covers parking or a few cappuccinos. But put $16 in the hands of Feed Ontario, with their bulk buying power for over 1,200 food banks and hunger relief organizations, and that $16 can provide breakfast for a hungry child every morning for a month. Please, give now at feedontariotogether.ca for the big change your pocket change can make.
A woman with blue skies in her eyes, a ridge of rocky mountains where the golden eagle flies. There's a promise in her legs, a paradise in her hand. She holds a gift of passage in a dusty, vibrant land. Oh, sweet Alberta, I'm coming home to your rocky mountains, to your blue ridge skies. Oh, sweet Alberta, I'm coming round. Tomorrow, deliver you from sorrow, cradled in her vision and bathed in her wisdom. Alberta is a woman with breath of fragrant flowers, a voice of easy breezes, a smile like summer showers. Oh, sweet Alberta, I'm coming home, to your rocky mountains, to your blue ridge skies. Oh, sweet Alberta, I'm coming round. Feedback on the ground. Oh, on the ground.
I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
To your Rocky Mountains, to your Blue Ridge skies, oh sweet Alberta. I'm coming round.
I'm coming round.
To get my feet back on the ground, oh sweet Alberta.
My name is Stephen Brooks. I'm an emergency doctor and researcher in the Faculty of Health Sciences at Queen's University. Out-of-hospital cardiac arrest affects about 35,000 people across Canada every year. The sooner treatment begins, the higher the probability of recovery. Neighbors Saving Neighbors is a pilot program to improve survival for people who experience sudden cardiac arrest in Frontenac County. Let us teach you how to do CPR, use an AED, and become a lifesaver. Consider becoming a Neighbor Saving Neighbors volunteer.
Apply today at frontenacparamedics.ca.
Have you been dumped? Left all alone? Just want to find your soulmate? Look no further, because your new best friend is waiting for you at the Kingston Humane Society. The Kingston Humane Society is a nonprofit animal organization founded in 1884 that is supported solely by the community, receiving no government funding to assist in their mission of caring for injured, abused, and homeless animals, with the goal of creating families and homes for the animals. They are the only open shelter in the region, accepting every animal brought to them with compassion, respect, and humane assistance. If you want to donate to help these animals find their best friends, or if you're interested in finding the new love of your life, please visit KingstonHumaneSociety.ca. Everyone just needs a little love.
C.
If.
Ah.
C.
101.9.
FM.
The world beats.
These are the sounds that keep it spinning.
The continuing story of today's global music.
Welcome to World Beat Canada.
We cap each episode of World Beat Canada Radio with a quote about our world. Like this, from dimple-cheeked politician and funny guy Al Franken. He said, it's easier to